All right, now the timing of Maverick publisher Melinda Ferguson's latest book offering couldn't be more serendipitous, with things hotting up, of course, at the Zondo Commission. Her latest publishing project detailing two decades of bribery, politicking and corruption at Basasa has hit the shelves. It's called Inside the Belly of the Beast, The Real Basasa Story, and it's the story of controversial former Basasa COO and whistleblower Angelo Agrizia. Melinda joins us now to talk about the book and a few of the other books of hers, which hit shelves this month. Hello, Melinda.
Good morning, Sarah Jane. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? Before we talk about any books, who first came up with this term maverick publisher to describe you? Who was it?
It might have been, was it you?
No, it can't have been. I would never have been that smart.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I do like it.
I like it too. I really, really like it. Maybe that should be the title of your new book, Maverick.
Maverick Ferguson.
Right. Inside the Belly of the Beast. I'm fascinated to know what projects and what books you've got coming up. And so I think it wasn't even a year ago, because I think COVID had already happened.
No.
And I said to you, what are you working on? What are you working on? And you said, you cannot tell anybody, you said. You swore me to secrecy. And then you said, Angelo Agrizia, and I nearly collapsed on the floor. How on earth did this come about?
Oh, gosh, I could have a whole hour-long show with this, but I'm going to tell you really quickly.
Yeah.
So as in, I think it was just after COVID hit the streets.
Yeah.
I got a mail from Angelo Agrizia talking to me about a book that he was working on, and I kind of went, Angelo, no, I don't like Angelo, and I just kind of fobbed him off.
Mm.
And the reason why I said that was that I had come across a racist tape of his that was played at Zondo, and I hadn't really been paying Zondo that much attention, I must tell you. So it was just this like association, oh no, this guy's corrupt, he's a racist, and I gave him the miss. Then another mail came in, and again I said I was too busy, which was true because we were working together on the lockdown collection. Then I got another mail from him, and the guy was really, he wanted to have a maverick publisher, clearly.
Yes.
And he basically told me that the book was finished, and it was also going to be sent to Jonathan Ball, or it had been. And then I was like, oh, no, I better read it. So I read it that weekend, and oh my word, I went completely insane. I was like, what is wrong with you, Melinda? You've overlooked a book that could be one of the biggest books of the year.
Yeah.
Quickly sent him a message, asked him to come onto a Zoom meeting, and I was very apologetic, and I said, listen, I love the book, this is amazing, because it's an inside story. You know, there have been many books on Basasa, or at least three, but no one has written from the personal,
so
working with Gavin Watson, you know, it's really a well-written book. It really is. You've read it.
Yeah, I'm reading it now. And I love what you say about it's the personal, because you listen to the news and you hear about the Zondo Commission, but you're not really hearing straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, when he's talking about, you know, counting the money and this and then going to Italy and you know, and Gavin saying, oh, yeah, we'll have a couple of these Ferraris. It's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing, and he actually writes really well.
Yeah, he does,
very poetic. I mean, I first thought in the beginning, I was like, who wrote this, Angelo? This, like, childhood stuff where he was a chef and he was working at the cafe. So I think what's amazing is that you kind of look into the beast and you look into the darkness of Angelo Agrizia, of the darkness of Basasa, the darkness of Gavin Watson. But then you are also really party to all of the insane political corruption that's going on and the bags of money that are being dropped off at the airport. And it's insane. I mean, I call it astonishing, and I think that's the word for it.
Yeah. Listen, you have not everyone has been thrilled with the book and things, and you've come under fire. So I mean, listen, here's your opportunity. Does stuff like that bother you? Because I wonder if people understand what it really means to be a publisher, what it is that you're doing.
Well, you know, it's been not so much the book that got criticized.
Yeah, no.
It was more
the photo
that
yeah.
I had taken of Angelo when I had the 30-minute visit that I've never actually met my author. I mean, I've gone to the ends of the world to get this book out, a long other story. But you know, I had a small short meeting and I took a photo, me being the person I am, stuck the book on poor Angelo's chest, and he was in ICU with all these pipes and machines going on in the background, and I took a photo where the machines on the right were not switched on, but the machines on the left that were not in the photo were all bleeping. So people on Twitter just went completely mad. They made memes of this picture. They said, how can a man read a book in ICU? They thought it was a marketing. Well, I mean, to be honest, in the end, it did become a marketing picture because the book has gone insane since that whole barrage of hatred on Twitter.
Tell me something. So, as your friend, in addition to somebody who you know is fascinated by the work that you do, I know that the work that you've put into this book, but also as it was coming out, as it was happening, his health was getting worse and worse. Was there a moment where you thought we're going to be publishing this posthumously?
I tell him that because I speak to him every morning on WhatsApp. I just have a little check-in with my author. I've never had an author in ICU before. I've had other authors in different places, but not quite
in ICU.
Yeah,
I was in the psychiatric clinic when
you were in the bloody clinic. So you and Angela could really have a few
chat.
Yes. So I mean, I often say to him, I actually thought we were going to have a posthumous kind of publishing of this book because, remember, it's a long story, but the book was going to print on the day that Angelo got his bail refused.
Yeah.
So he was taken down out of court without any of us suspecting that would happen, and he was put in a prison cell. Now, suddenly, there was no phone. So, I mean, like, how are you going to speak to the guy? And then on top of it, my original publishing company, NB Publishers, decided to drop the book on that day. I mean, they decided that they weren't going to risk a person who was a flight risk and a perjurer in court, which is why ostensibly his bail was denied. They didn't want to do the book anymore. So I was left literally without an author and without a publishing company overnight. I ran ahead, as I do, and created a new imprint called Truth Be Told Publishing. And, yeah, I got that book out. And Angelo is slowly making a recovery. I spoke to him this morning. In fact, he's listening right now. I thought, And his voice is sounding strong. His body might not be in the – I mean, he's got kidney failure, so he's on dialysis. He's on respirators. But I can hear the fire in Mr. Agretti's voice is back, so I'm just warning everybody, this is not the last you hear of Angelo Agretti.
So, I mean, I was listening to an interview that you did the other day in which you said that you'd spoken to him, and he said, no, I'm ready to go back to Zondo.
Yeah. Look, he might not be able to physically
go,
but Dudu Mieni did her I refused to incriminate myself on Zoom. So I reckon a lot of people at Zondo are going to be doing it from Zoom with all the COVID stuff that we still are dealing with.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I'm really enjoying the book. I think it is absolutely fascinating. Even if you're somebody who's not following Zondo, even if you kind of platform with all of the stuff, just to get an insight into Basasa, into the levels of graft. I mean, really, really. And as you say, really well written.
Really well written. And I think as South Africans, we owe it to ourselves to know what happened to the money in this country. I mean, there are not only Basasas who've done it. There are many other private companies. The Steinhoffs, let's not even go there.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that as citizens of this country, whether we like the whistleblower or not, it's up to us to be informed and to know what has happened and why our country is suffering and is in an economic kind of disastrous place at the moment.
Yeah. I think the other interesting thing, and that, you know, people can have their own opinions on this, but, you know, it's kind of drawing on Steve Biko, we write what we like, we publish what we like. And I think it's not always possible. And I know that of your authors, you don't always like everyone that you publish.
Yeah, I mean, I have huge issues with you.
Yeah. Rude.
No, but
that's true, isn't it? You can't just... Do you feel a responsibility? I mean, obviously you publish stuff that you think is interesting and it's going to sell. But do you feel a responsibility as a publisher to put stuff out there that's in the public interest? Even if... And I heard you say this once on another interview. You know, your impression of Angelo Agrizi was, oh, that racist. And I mean, yeah, he's spoken about the things that he said, which are deeply, deeply problematic and offensive. But is that a reason not to publish somebody's story, particularly when it is, I believe, in the public interest?
You know, I think if I'd found Angelo to be that person, that kind of picture that had been portrayed of him, if he had been carrying on behaving like that around me, I probably would not have been able to carry on working with him.
Okay.
But I think Angelo made a big mistake, and I do think that he has admitted to it. And there are so many racists that haven't been caught, that if I've got to like only publish people that have got like pure morally sound psyches, I've probably found no one to publish.
Yeah, you won't get a second book out of me if that's the criteria.
Exactly. So the thing is that I've also got to know him. I believe his motives are really good. I do believe he wants to tell the truth. Whether it was to save his own ass, listen, we're all human beings. You get somebody against the wall, everybody's going to try and save themselves. Nobody is beyond that. So for me, it was when I stopped morally judging and I started saying, how important is this book in the landscape of South African politics, in the landscape of corruption? And, you know, and then all the answers were clear to me that the book had to find a life.
Somebody messaging in on the WhatsApp saying, does he talk about what he thinks really happened to Gavin Watson?
Oh my word. I was about to drop that in because that the last chapter, I'm not going to tell you exactly
what happens.
But the last chapter is called Master No More, and it's about Gavin's death, and it gives a lot of insight from Angelo's perspective into what possibly could have happened. And I think it's fascinating to end the book on that note because I can tell you what, Angelo's getting his laptop from his wife, I think later today, and he is starting the second book.
Really?
And from ICU, I said, can your fingers work? He said, I'll just use one of them.
Wow.
So he's starting to type up his second book, and there are many more stories to be told, but this is a really good first one.
Interesting. It's called Inside the Belly of the Beast, and it is the real Bosasa story, the story of former Bosasa COO and whistleblower Angelo Agrizi. What else are you putting out? We've got, how long have we got left? Yeah, 6 or 7 minutes. What else is on your...
Okay,
I'll
race through. So Meditating with Rhinos, the most opposite book to Inside the Belly of the Beast, if you ever could imagine. Helena Creel, probably one of my finest, besides Sarah Jane McQuillan King, writers that I've been able to publish. It's the second book that I've published of hers.
The first one was Year of Facing Fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Meditating with Rhinos, if you want to give a gift to someone that's going to be like, transformative and like one of those kind of spiritually important and sustaining of ideas that are much bigger than just the ordinary. It's not just about rhinos. It is about how Helena starts working with orphaned baby rhinos near the Kruger Park. But it is a very deep book about kind of world issues, about how we are, you know, we've kind of like messed this place up to the extent that we've had to look very deeply into our own hearts during COVID. But even though the word COVID is never mentioned in the book, it's about the planet and it's about how we find ourselves and what we call home. So it's a beautifully written book, very inoffensive, very good to give to someone who, you know, isn't... Who needs to get a feel-good book in there.
We all need that at the end of 2020. Yeah, this is the gift that keeps on giving, I think, at the end of 2020. Something nice.
Something amazing and something you'll feel deep and fulfilled by, and you won't feel empty and upset and corrupted and sort of angry. It won't make you... It's a book that's going to actually lift you.
Yeah.
Then there is Gigi, another very different book. Gigi, which is Nipple Caps and G-Strings, a stripper's memoir. Beautiful pictures. I think
Gorgeous.
You've got the book.
Yeah, I have got it. I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, in a way, it's a feminist story because it's about a woman who says, this is my body. If I'm going to make money out of it, I'll decide to do that. Very, very clever businesswoman. She has not been one of the victims of the strip industry. She runs her own strip club. She's bought many properties with the money that she's made from men. She always says things like, I don't want to steal your man. I just want his money. And she sees men as a bit of an ATM in her life, you know, and she's been able to really conquer that very dark and seedy world that often is something that is a tragedy for some women. But for her, it's been an absolute cash cow. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm listening. I'm gripped. I'm listening.
You.
No.
You're avidly listening.
No,
I suddenly thought I'd lost you.
No.
For me, it's an amazing story. It's about Old Hillbrow. It's about those strip clubs in the beginning. It's about the Lolly Jacksons. It's about the Andrew Phillipses. And then it's about her, I suppose, her business acumen. And it's inspirational, you know, on many levels because she's come out as a victor.
She's a real character, hey?
Yeah, no, she really
is. She's a real character.
She was a Jehovah Witness. Yeah. I mean, she was born into a Jehovah Witness family. I mean, it's insane.
I'm really, really enjoying it. It's called Gigi Nipple Caps and G-Strings. Let's just quickly talk about Malusi's latest book.
Yes. Magenge, which if you're white and you don't know what that means, it means my dudes, my men, my brothers, we need to talk. And probably one of the most important books that I've actually ever published,
right,
because it's about black men sitting with Malusi running the convo. It's about black men talking about difficult things. It's about gender-based violence. It's about why men leave their children. It's about the brotherhood, but it's a very, very vulnerable book in terms of Malusi, where he's coming from. The beginning of the book, he's lost his wife's cheated on him, and he has to start looking internally into kind of what makes him a man. And it's funny, it's clever.
He is so funny. So Malusi Shabalala, we should just context. If you guys, and you probably do, follow him on, he does Malusi's Everyday Zulu, which has just absolutely taken off. It was turned into a book. He is very, very funny, Malusi. If you're not following him on social media, please do.
And, you know, I mean, as a white woman, I learned so much about men, whether white or black men. I think that a lot of women are going to want to read the book, Magenge, We Need to Talk, because actually I think a lot of us don't understand why men behave the way they do. So it's also about the Rugby World Cup. It's about soccer. It's about money. It's about... the chapters are really short. So they're really easy to read. And it's kind of this handbook on what's going on in men's minds and how Malusi tries to address the issues that men struggle with. And I love the book. I think it's fab.
I think you are doing extraordinary things. Maverick producer Melinda Ferguson, publisher Melinda Ferguson, thank you so much for joining us. Get your hands on those books. Magenge, We Need to Talk, Meditating with Rhino, Gigi Nipple Caps and G-Strings, and of course, Bosasa, Inside the Belly of the Beast, the real Bosasa story. Melinda, thank you so much. Thank you for listening.